3-hour layover. And so, as my friends like to say, I got a little hungry, right? And so, went to the cafeteria, gave me a little something to eat. And so, I was standing in line in this cafeteria at the airport. In my peripheral vision, I see this lesbian couple, and one of the girls checks me out. And so, I'm thinking, like, if only you didn't like girls, girl, we could have had some girl, right? I'm just kidding. I would never holler like that at a young lady. That is highly inappropriate. All that y'all laughed, need to repent. Step your game up. All the ladies said, come on. So, you know, I just blushed momentarily and I, you know, continued to purchase my food and I went back and sat somewhere in the cafeteria. And out of all the places, all the seats in the cafeteria, what do you know? Here comes this lesbian couple and sits to the table right next to me. Holy Spirit gives me a word of knowledge about this girl's life, a specific fact about her life that I would not logically know. Holy Spirit said, this girl didn't check you out for no reason. The only reason that she's quote-unquote lesbian is because she had a physically abusive relationship with a male in her past that has caused her to be this way. And so I'm sitting there, and I was like, man, Lord, that's tough, right? And so I did. I was sitting there, and I did one of those, you know, stretch your hand type prayers, you know. And, you know, Lord Jesus, heal her, bless her, God, restore her life. You know, but I was pretending I was stretching, right, because I was in a public, you know, location. But didn't, you know. And anyways, the longer I sat there, I realized, oh, boy, I got to share this word with this girl, right? And so, man, you guys, my heart started racing as if it was going to bounce out of my chest. My palms got sweaty and just real nervous, right? Two things helped me overcome my fear. Number one, I happened to be drinking Powerade with my meal. I felt like God saying, Mark, let me be your Powerade. Come on, somebody. That was cool, huh? Second thing is this little boy came and sat to the left of me. He came with his mom. His mom went to go get something to eat. And, man, I kid you guys not, this kid literally began to stare at me intently. He's saying, if you don't step up, man, what God's calling you to do, you bet. It's a 7-year-old boy, right? So I'm here. I'm nervous. My heart's beating. You know, got a lesbian couple over here, this little boy. I looked at him twice. I gave him the look, you know, like, dude, stop looking at me, right? Anyways, by this time, the girl's girlfriend gets up to go get some dessert or some other food. And God tells me, Mark, this is your moment. I set you up. I set her up. This is the time. Get up. Go do it, right? And so I get up, and I walk towards her table, only to walk right past. But I go right to that vending machine and get a refill of that Powerade. Come on, somebody. I get back. So I walk back to the table, and I go up to her. I say, hey, I know this is crazy, but here's my number. Call me maybe. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I said, hey, I know this is going to sound crazy. But, and right, you guys got to understand, I'm just stumbling all over the place. I'm super nervous, right? Because what if it's just like this girl's sister or something? And I didn't know. Anyways, you know, I said, you know, is that your, and she goes, my girlfriend? Yeah. And so I said, okay, cool. Well, check this out. I love Jesus. He loves you. And instantly, she just puts up this wall. She says, I quote her, save your spiel. I was born in the church. I was baptized in the church. Save your spiel. So I said, okay, cool. You know, I'm not trying to convert you or condemn you, anything like that. But I feel like God put some encouragement on my heart to share with you. Would that be okay? And she gave me the go-ahead nod. And so I began to ask her. I say, hey, I could be wrong here, and that's totally fine. But I feel like, you know, was there a relationship with a male in your past that was physically abusive that has caused you to be this way? And she just sits back in her chair, and she says, you're spot on. And I tell you guys, all nervousness, everything just came off me. Spirit of God came upon me. I just got all up in her face in a respective way. I was like, Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He loves you. And this is not the will of God. And yeah, it was cool. It's just that boldness came over me. It was cool. And then she just started to get, you know, a little hesitant and whatnot. And the girlfriend came back and sat at the table. I just knew it was my time to go. And so I just left that cafeteria, man. I was juiced up. I was jumping. I was on fire. And I was telling, I was just going up to people, man. Jesus is real, man. Later, as I caught my flight back home, I felt God would take me back to that moment and put the spotlight on the little boy, you know, the one who was staring at me so intently. And he was saying, Mark, our generation, your generation is looking at you, it just 100% looking at you to step up to what God is calling you. And if we don't, America, your campus will not know God. And that just really shook me up. And I read an article just not too long ago on CNN. They said the fastest growing religion in America is a group of people with no religion at all. And yeah. So if we don't step up, the Chi Alpha, Christ Ambassador, on our campus, our campuses will not know God. So we like to go, UC Davis, we like to go on outreaches on our campus every now and then, go to pray for people. This one particular outing, we went and prayed for this one young man in the middle of the quad, and he's having lunch. And we go up to him, we say, hey, man, can we pray for you? We love Jesus. He wants to bless you. And he says, he just kindly declines. And then we feel like we get some encouragement for him. So, man, we feel like we got some encouragement from you before you. Can we share with you? And then he says, like, nah, dude, I'm Buddhist. I don't want your prayers. And so I just take 20 steps the opposite direction. And I just stop in the middle of the quad, and I just can't shake this. I've got to go and share this with this dude. And so I walk back, just head down. I was like, oh, God, you got to do something here. And so I go back, and I said, dude, I strongly believe that God has something for you. And he just, something violent, begins to arise out of him. It wasn't acid reflux from his lunch, right? But he said this next thing that has gripped me, and I hope it grips you too. He said, I'm nervous. I've got to give a speech in 5 minutes. And I just, at that time, I just felt there was something deeper to that statement than the obvious. I felt as if his very soul was crying out, I'm nervous. I got to give a speech to God. I got to give an account to God on a judgment day. When we know every time we step on campus that eternity is on the line. There was a time in history where king after king would do more and more evil and lead a nation, lead a people group deeper and deeper into sin until one king came and outdid them all. For this king not only disobeyed the commandments of God, he straight up kicked God out of the temple and replaced him with an idol by the name of Baal. He kicked out God for this false man-made God. He kicked out the very presence of God, the very God that rescued them from oppression and slavery. And he traded him just for like an idea, an ideology. Yes. And yeah, like I was saying in my rap, how many students are more concerned about their major than their savior and not realizing by doing so, they've now created their major to be their savior when their savior should be the major. Come on, somebody. Y'all get that? Okay. After 14 years of this apostasy and abandonment of God in this nation, one man, James 5:17 says, was just as human as we are. One man goes straight up to that king, and he says, as surely as the Lord lives, the God of Israel, the God I serve, there shall be no rain or dew for the next few years until I give the word. Somebody say, until I give the word. You stand, Leonard Ravenhill once said, you stand in the presence of God, you'll never bow before men. You stand in the presence of God, you'll never be ashamed to talk about Christ in front of your classmates or your dorm mates. You stand in the presence of God, you'll never compromise into pornography, sexual immorality. You'll never be intimidated by a cast or a wheelchair. One man stepped up. He set the trend for that entire nation. As we read the story, just because he set that trend, he said it's not going to rain for these next few years. An entire nation came back to God because of that. So I like to think I'm a trendsetter. And so a few years ago, I began this new endeavor with my style, with my wardrobe. And I was telling everybody, man, 2-3 years, worldwide phenomenon. I was sold out for this trend I wanted to start. And so everywhere I go, I tuck in my shirt and pull my pants up. Glenn, you could show the picture here. I'm serious, you guys. That's a 2-3 years, worldwide phenomenon. Everyone's going to be doing it. And so everywhere I go, everybody was making fun of me, saying you're dorky, you're geeky, you look like an old man, can you please untuck your shirt, we're in public, etc. But I was so sold out on this trend. So this picture is me and my friend Scott back in 2008. And, we're just too ahead of the game, you know. So I'm saying 2015, all y'all going to be tucking in your shirt. All right. Elijah, he set the trend for the day. But I want to submit an idea to you this morning that before Elijah set the trend had to be set in him. And so I don't think, as we read the story, God never told Elijah to go up and say this word to this king, right? Elijah knew the commandments of God already. And back in Deuteronomy, it says, if you disobey the Lord your God, there will be a famine, there will be drought, the sun will scorch the land. So as surely as the Lord your God lives, the God of Israel, there shall be no dew or rain for the next few years until I give the word. What trends have you been setting on campus? Or have the trends of today, society, popularity, been setting you? I remember when this past summer, as I was preparing myself to get back to do what's next, God, I was just praying, and I just knew 99% that God is calling me to go to UC Davis. And, you know, just there's that 1% small mustard seed faith, I guess, that requires that. But I just knew without a shadow of a doubt, go to UC Davis. And so, you know, for the second half of the summer, I would just prepare my way. You know, I got to raise some money, and I got to put my name on a bunch of apartment lists and ask some families, you know, if they got some open rooms and whatnot. Work really hard, you know, to get a spot as I come back to UC Davis. 1 week before school, nothing, right? Nothing. There's like one apartment that called me, but it was like the luxury apartment. How many of y'all know, man? It just didn't work out, all right? So, you know, 1 week, I don't have anything, right? But I know God has called me to go to UC Davis and serve there. During that week, I heard about this guy who so impacted me. You've heard me quote him this morning, Leonard Ravenhill. For 3 straight years, this dude went out to Germany, just walked the streets every single day, preached Christ, saw people come to Christ, and he didn't have a place to stay. He said, man, we were sleeping in church pews. Whoever would let us crash on their couch. So I said, okay, God, if I got to sleep in my car, so be it. I'm going to UC Davis, right? And so I get there the night before school actually starts, and you know, we have like a Chi Alpha outreach event. That gets over. It's like 9, 10 o'clock. Woo, and now, you know, reality strikes, right, for me. I'm just super nervous. I don't know if you guys get on the iMessage, use the emojis. I'm like that face with the sweat coming down, right? I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, I'm just super scared, you know? Like, man, I'm really about to sleep in my car. And but anyways, me and Will, we have a meeting with one of our friends, you know, just some staff stuff we want to run through. So we go to our friend's house, and so we get there. I say, hey, man, you know, you got a couch I could crash on for the night. I'm looking for a place to stay just for tonight. And he says, no, I don't have a couch, but I actually have a spare bedroom. And the people that live there already heard from God months before that I was supposed to go there and live there. I was like, come on, man, y'all should have told me earlier. Save some brothers some sweat glands. Before you could tell the world its need of Christ, Christ must take you to a place where he's all you need. Mm. That's how Double S said. Mm. Somebody say, mm. Okay. 1 Kings 17, 2 through 7. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. I'll ask you guys this morning, is Christ all that you need, or is he just something that you have? Leonard Ravenhill, he said it like this. He said, if Christ has yet to conquer my, what did he say? Christ has yet to conquer my affection if he still has to fight for my attention. Sean Smith said it like this. He said, the heart is like a motel with multiple guests in it when it should be a home for one person. That's Jesus. Mm. I want to share a story about one of our students. He came, we kind of met him early on as he was a freshman or sophomore, I believe, and we saw him kind of off and on throughout our time there at UC Davis. And one evening, just a while, a few months ago maybe, we were walking towards our Chi Alpha large group meeting. We take over a lecture hall, just as you guys do. And so as we take over, you know, as we walk through campus, we actually pass by these fraternity rows, what they call these frat houses. And so we're walking by these frat houses, and I'm running late to our Chi Alpha meeting, so I got to get back quick. And all of a sudden, I see that student that we met a while back in this frat party, and I just knew. I said, oh, man, this is not right. Something's not right here. And so I was just going to say, hey, what's up, man? You know, that wave. I was going to do the wave thing again. Adam, say what's up. But I felt like God was telling me, no, Mark, you need to stop, cross over into this gate, get in that party, and go talk to him. And so I said, okay, let's go in there. And I thought I was just going to say what's up to him and small talk. Anyways, I go up to him, and he say what's up and whatnot. 10 seconds, small talk. And then we say, hey, we love you, man. And the Spirit of God was in those words, was on that. And come to find out, this dude just gets, just, you know, the Bible says that it's the Spirit of the Father that draws you know, himself unto him. And so the Spirit began to draw this dude back. And he ends up going to our Chi Alpha Fall Retreat, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know Stanislaus would get excited. I'm just kidding. And he has a dream. He sees Jesus in his dream, and Jesus is telling him, you're clean, you're clean. So God has a way of just pulling out somebody from death, you know. Really, when you're living in a lifestyle, you know, you're drinking. I don't know what exactly he was getting into. I'm not going to throw that stuff out. But when you're in that scene, you're getting drunk, smoking, doing what you do, that's death right there. And so God has a way of resurrecting. He straight up resurrected this dude into a new life. And he's got some roommates he was telling me about, just some dope heads, right? And so he's in there. He's just saying no to alcohol. He's not smoking. He's not doing any of that stuff. Now he's straight up resurrected. And now he's even sharing Christ with his roommates. And, like, they're, like, tripping out now, not off the weed, but off him. And it's just so cool. And he was telling me the other day that one of his friends, Christian brothers, invited him to a Christian function on campus. And they had to stop back at his apartment to get something. And so they roll up there, and it's just smelling like dank, right? It's smelling like just weed, potent, right? It's just all up in the air. And so he kind of got, like, nervous. He's like, oh, you know, I hope this guy don't judge me and whatnot. And he was cool with it, the friend. But I was saying, like, man, somebody need to judge you if you're not smelling like weed. You know what I'm saying? You got to be in the world but not of it. You got to smell like weed but not smoke it. Come on, somebody. Hey. Woo! I'm just kidding. Yes, let's continue this scripture. That's always a good idea. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. Then the woman told Elijah, now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you. Before you can go and resurrect your atmosphere, God's got to come and resurrect something inside of you. Much like Freddie was resurrected from a death lifestyle, he's now living for Christ, living testimony, bringing resurrection to his roommates. All his roommates about to get saved. And so I want to ask you guys, does your lifestyle need a resurrection? Is there any area of your heart that has become deceased or hardened to God that needs a resurrection? So the stage is now set. God takes Elijah. Elijah sets the trend. And God set the trend in him through the word of God. Wait, hold on. I got a quick side thought on that story. If you were Elijah, this one man, and you were staying at this widow's house and her son dies, what would you do? We had a student that died at UC Davis, and they were part of a campus ministry. And so shortly after that, all the Christians gathered around campus, and they all took a moment of silence. But where was that student who says it's not their time to die yet? Let's go resurrect by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I genuinely believe that the current attitude of the student believers to those who are dead, who are spiritually dead, those who are not in Christ, the current attitude is we would rather take a moment of silence than to go and resurrect. And so God prepared Elijah. The stage is set to either make history or be history. And God took him to this whole preparation of setting the trend in him, setting up, giving him a burning word in his heart, and he set the trend for an entire nation. He took Elijah to a place where God was the only thing that he needed, the only person that he needed. And he also gave Elijah a personal encounter, a resurrection encounter. And so we had back at campus at UC Davis, we had this campus club that wanted to show this pornographic movie in one of the bigger lecture halls on campus, probably about 5 years ago. And so all the students got all excited and whatnot. And so they were all piling up in this lecture hall. Students were lining up. They actually had to send some students back home, go do your thing on the internet, on your computer, or something like that, right? And so they'd all go in here, and two of our students from our Chi Alpha, Bryce Herman and Peter Ludden, they said, "This is not right." So they were at the Chi Alpha house, and they made this big old sign. Glenn, you can show it. They said, "Don't show porn on our campus. It is not good for you." And so they were getting ready to go out on campus and hold up this sign and say, "Don't show porn on our campus." And I was actually in the room while they were doing this, and they were saying, "Hey, Mark, can you come with us?" I said, "Hey, man, praying for you guys. I got a midterm tomorrow," right? I totally chickened out. Anyways, I'll keep it real. Where were you at, Christ Ambassador? But anyway, so they would go out. They went out on campus because they said this is not right. And they began to boldly declare, said, "Don't show porn on our campus." Let me tell you guys, sometimes you just got to pull up your pants, tuck in your shirt, and say, "This is not right." I was expecting a little more, but it's okay. 2015, like I said, y'all be doing that. So this big old showdown with Elijah and the entire nation, here's what happens to ultimately lead this nation back to God. The Lord says, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab, this king. Now, this is what Elijah said to the king. He said, "Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of Asherah who were supported by Jezebel." So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets of Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood." So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, "Oh, Baal, answer us!" But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice. But still there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah, the prophet, walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I'm your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord is God." As much as this story is about one man, Christ's ambassador, bringing an entire nation back to God, it's also about the people that God so loved and the people that needed a deliverer, a savior. And for us today, God no longer sends down fire on sacrifice. He won't send an earthquake, tsunami. But he did send a baby, born of the Holy Spirit, walked amongst men, gave up his entire deity, perfect, sinless, blameless, and became the ultimate sacrifice for us. I want to end with this verse in Hebrews 10. And worship team, you guys can make your way up here. Hebrews 10. You can put the verse on the, 10 through 18 says, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, 'This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.' Then he says, 'I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds.' And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices." I just want to end this morning, just seek God. And would you guys just bow your heads as we pray? And just I feel the direction that we are to go this morning. So every student here has signed a statement of intent to attend their respected university, right? But I feel like in this moment, God is saying, "But you forgot all about me when you got to college." That's not a guilt trip, it's a love call. And that today, for the college student, the bail of our day is our college degree. And as you heard in the story, the fire did not fall on the sacrifice to the idol, but the fire fell on the sacrifice of a heart yielded to Christ. Now, I'm not saying don't get your degree. All I'm saying is don't put it above Christ. Anything you elevate above Christ has now become an idol. I so believe that Jesus wants to set each one of you free from the anxiety, the pressure of the emptiness of just a certificate and give you something greater to live for. Nations are on the line. They will not know God if we don't step up. So I want to ask you guys this morning, if you signed that statement of intent to go to your university, but I ask you guys, have you signed that statement of intent to follow Jesus no matter what? Whether you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And so we could just, worship team, you guys could begin playing. I just want you guys to think about that. Have you signed your statement of intent to follow Christ no matter what? You know, I count it all as loss if I don't have you. Jesus said that if you lose your life, you will find your life. You can all stand up as we just begin to worship and give your heart to God.